Well, hello there. Welcome to Sound Effects, a radio playground. I'm Jerry Stearns, and let me be the last to wish you a happy Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. And we're going to celebrate that day tonight and next week with something appropriate on the radio. This is from the Lux Radio Theater, which back in the 1940s, their mission was to bring current movies to the radio. And they would usually do it with the original movie stars. If they couldn't get one, they would find another well-known star to play the part. If you look on YouTube today, you'll find a lot of things that are AI-generated, such as the Jetsons as a 1930s Art Deco television show, all done by AI, or the Led Zeppelin album done as a 1950s doo-wop group, done by AI. Well, tonight's not done by AI. It's done by real human intelligence, usually in the names of Sean Crosby, Colleen Crosby, and Michael Reed. They're the producers of this, a version of the Lux Radio Theater in the style of a 1940s radio show, but it's a much later movie. This is called The Adventures of Luke Skywalker, featuring Mickey Rooney as Luke Skywalker, Humphrey Bogart as Han Solo, Katharine Hepburn as Princess Leia Organa, and Jimmy Stewart as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Lux presents Hollywood. Lieber Brothers Company, makers of Lux Flakes, brings you the Lux Radio Theater, starring Mickey Rooney, Humphrey Bogart, and Katharine Hepburn in The Adventures of Luke Skywalker. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille.
Ladies and gentlemen, greetings from Hollywood. As we pass another Thanksgiving, we naturally think in terms of things we are thankful for in our lives. And tonight, we give thanks for three special favorites in the screen, Mickey Rooney, Humphrey Bogart, and Katharine Hepburn. They join us for a new and thrilling story. In 20th Century Fox's The Adventures of Luke Skywalker, Mickey is called upon to play an intrepid young farm boy adventurer, Bogey, a roguish space pirate, and Kate, the beautiful damsel in distress. Tonight, we follow their adventures through the stars as they attempt to overthrow the evil Galactic Empire and restore order to the galaxy. I'm sure that if Lux Flakes could speak for themselves, they would take the opportunity to wish you all a very happy holiday season. Certainly, they'll help to make it happy, as they always have, by lessening your labors and lengthening the life of your nice things. So important now that we have to make things last out here on the home front. Our curtain rises as we present The Adventures of Luke Skywalker, starring Mickey Rooney as Luke, Humphrey Bogart as Captain Han Solo, and Katharine Hepburn as Princess Leia Organa. And our story begins, as so many epic fantasies do, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
The Adventures of Luke Skywalker, Episode 4, A New Hope.
It is a period of civil war. Rebel spaceships striking from a hidden base have won their first victory against the evil Galactic Empire. During the battle, Rebel spies managed to steal secret plans to the Empire's ultimate weapon, the Death Star, an armored space station with enough power to destroy an entire planet. Pursued by the Empire's sinister agents, Princess Leia races home aboard her starship, custodian of the stolen plans that can save her people and restore freedom to the galaxy.
The awesome yellow planet of Tatooine emerges from a total eclipse, her two moons glowing against the darkness. A tiny silver spacecraft, a Rebel blockade runner, races through space. It is pursued by a giant Imperial Star Destroyer. Inside the blockade runner, an explosion rocks the ship as two old and battered robots struggle to make their way through. through the shaking, bouncing passageway. R2-D2 is a short-barreled shaped tripod. His face is a mass of computer lights surrounding a radar eye. C-3PO is a tall, slender robot of human proportions. He has a gleaming bronze-like metallic surface of an Art Deco design.
Did you hear that? They've shut down the main reactor. We'll be destroyed for sure. This is madness. We're doomed.
Me, 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 me.
There'll be no escape for the princess this time.
Me, 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 me.
Loud metallic latches clank and the screams of heavy equipment are heard moving around the outside of the hull of the ship. The Imperial craft has easily overtaken the Rebel blockade runner. The smaller Rebel ship is being drawn into the underside dock of the giant Imperial starship. Inside, nervous Rebel troopers aim their weapons at the boarding hatch. Suddenly, a tremendous blast opens up a hole in the main passageway, and a score of fearsome, space-armored stormtroopers make their way into the smoke-filled corridor. In a few minutes, the entire passageway is ablaze with laser fire. Deadly bolts ricochet and wild random. Huge explosion. Laser bolts hit several Rebel soldiers who scream and stagger through the smoke. Oh, the shattered arm.
Where are you?
C-3PO spots little R2 at the end of the hallway in a smoke-filled alcove. A beautiful young girl stands in front of R2, surreal and out of place. She finishes adjusting something on R2's computer face, then watches as the little robot joins his companions.
At last, where have you been? They're heading in this direction. What are we going to do? We'll be sent to the spice mines of Kessel or smashed into who knows what.
Me, 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 me.
Wait a minute, where are you going?
Darth Vader, the awesome 7-foot-tall Dark Lord of the Sith, makes his way into the blinding light of the main passageway. He is dressed head to toe in fearsome black body armor and a flowing black cape, his face obscured by a grotesque mask. He forms a stark contrast to the fascist white armored suits of his Imperial stormtroopers. The Dark Lord stands amidst the broken and twisted bodies of his foes and grabs a wounded Rebel officer by the neck.
Lord Vader, but the Death Star plans are not in the main computer.
Where are those transmissions you intercepted? What have you done with those plans?
We intercepted no transmissions. The consular ship, we're on a diplomatic mission.
If this is a consular ship, where is the ambassador? Commander, tear the ship apart until you found those plans and bring me the passengers. I want them alive.
The lovely young girl, Princess Leia Organa, huddles in a small alcove as the stormtroopers search through the ship. The fear in her eyes slowly gives way to anger as the muted, crushing sounds of the approaching stormtroopers grow louder. One of the troopers spots her.
There's one set for stun.
She'll be all right. Inform Lord Vader we have a prisoner.
R2, you're not permitted in there. It's restricted. You'll be deactivated for sure. Don't call me a mindless philosopher, you overweight glob of grease. Now come out of that escape pod before someone sees you. Secret mission? What plans? What are you talking about? I'm not getting in there. Oh, I'm going to regret this.
There goes another escape pod.
Hold your fire. There are no life forms aboard. It must have short-circuited.
Are you sure this thing is safe?
Princess Leia, her hands bound, is led down a hallway by a squad of armored stormtroopers. They stop in a smoky hallway as Darth Vader emerges from the shadows.
Darth Vader, only you could be so bold. The Imperial Senate will not sit still for this. When they hear you've attacked a diplomatic...
Don't act so surprised, Your Highness. You weren't on any mercy mission this time. Several transmissions were beamed to the ship by Rebel spies. I want to know what happened to the plans they sent you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a member of the Imperial Senate on a diplomatic mission to Alderaan.
You're a part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away.
Holding her is dangerous. If word of this gets out, it could generate sympathy for the rebellion and the Senate.
I have traced the Rebel spies to her. Now she is my only link to find their secret base.
She'll die before she tells you anything.
Leave that to me. Send a distress signal and then inform the Senate that all aboard were killed.
Lord Vader, the battle station plans are not aboard this ship, and no transmissions were made. An escape pod was jettisoned during the fighting, but no life forms were aboard.
She must have hidden the plans in the escape pod. Send a detachment down to retrieve them. See to it personally, Commander. There'll be no one to stop us this time.
Yes, sir.
The two helpless robots kick up clouds of sand as they leave the life pod and clumsily work their way across the desert wasteland of Tatooine.
Well, R2, we seem to be made to suffer. It's our lot in life. This is another fine mess you've gotten me into. Where are you going?
Me, 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 me.
Well, I'm not going that way. I'm going this way. Don't get technical with me.
Me, 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 me.
What are you talking about? I've had just enough of you and your secret mission. Go that way. You'll be malfunctioning within a day, you nearsighted scrap pile. And don't let me catch you following me, begging for help, because you won't get it. That malfunctioning little twerp, this is all his fault. He tricked me into going this way, but he'll do no better. Wait, what's that? A transport. I'm saved.
On top of a desert bleached power station, two figures discuss old times. Luke Skywalker is a farm boy with heroic aspirations who looks much younger than his 18 years. His shaggy hair and baggy tunic give him an air of simple but lovable lad with a prize-winning smile. Biggs Darklighter is a burly, handsome boy a few years older. His flashy city attire is a sharp contrast to Luke's clothing.
So I cut off my power, shut down the afterburners, and came in low on Diggs' trail. Well, I was so close, I thought I was going to fry my instruments. As it was, Uncle Owen was pretty upset on account I busted up the Skyhopper pretty bad. He grounded me for the rest of the season. Gosh, you should have been there. It was fantastic.
You ought to take it easy, Luke. You may be the hottest bush pilot
this side of Mos Eisley, but those little Skyhoppers are dangerous. Keep it up, and one day, whammo, you're going to be nothing more than a dark spot on the downside of a canyon wall.
Look who's talking, Biggs. Now that you've been around those giant starships, you're beginning to sound like my uncle.
Luke, I didn't come back just to say goodbye. I shouldn't tell you this, but you're the only one I can trust. And if I don't come back, I want somebody to know.
What are you talking about?
I made some friends at the Academy, and when our frigate goes to one of the central systems, we're going to jump ship and join the Alliance.
Join the Rebellion? Are you kidding? How?
My friend has a friend on Bestine who might help us make contact.
You're crazy. Why, you could wander around forever just trying to find him.
I know it's a long shot, but it's what we always talked about, Luke. I'm not going to wait for the Empire to draft me into service. The Rebellion is spreading, and I want to be on the right side. The side I believe in.
Oh, and I'm stuck here.
I thought you were going to the Academy next term. You'll get your chance to get off this rock.
I wish I was going now. Well, are you going to be around long?
No, I'm leaving in the morning.
Then I guess I won't see you.
Maybe someday. I'll keep a lookout.
Well, I'll be at the Academy next season. Well, after that, who knows? Take care of yourself, Biggs. You'll always be the best friend I've got.
So long, Luke.
Four Imperial stormtroopers mill about in front of the half-buried life pod that brought R2 and 3PO to Tatooine.
Someone was in the escape pod. The tracks go off in this direction.
Look, sir, droids.
Stopped in front of the Lars family homestead is an immense, rusty Jawa sandcrawler and its cargo of well-worn robots.
Luke! Luke!
Well, what is it, Aunt Beru?
Tell Owen that if he gets a translator, to be sure it speaks Bocce.
It looks like we don't have much of a choice, but I'll remind him.
Owen Lars, a large, burly farmer, carefully inspects each robot. He is closely followed by his nephew, Luke Skywalker. A Jawa, a small rodent-like creature, walks ahead of the farmer, spouting an animated sales pitch.
No, not that one. Well, you, I suppose you're programmed for etiquette and protocol.
Protocol? Why, it's my primary function, sir. I am well-versed in all the customs.
I don't need a protocol, droid.
Of course you haven't, sir. Not in an environment such as this. What I really need is a droid that understands the binary language of moisture evaporators. Evaporators, sir, my first job was programming binary load lifters. Very similar to your evaporators in most respects. Do you speak bocce? Of course I can, sir. It's like a second language for me. All right, shut up. I'll take this one. Luke, take these two over to the garage, will you? I want to have them both cleaned up before dinner.
But we were going to go to Toshi Station and pick up some power converters.
Now, cut that out. You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done. Now, come on, get to it.
All right. Well, come on. And the red one, too. Come on. Uncle Owen! Uncle Owen, this R2 unit has a bad motivator. Why, look.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us? Excuse me, sir, but that R2 unit is in prime condition. A real bargain.
Uncle Owen?
Yeah?
Well, what about that one? He says it's a real bargain.
Bargain? Did someone say bargain? We'll take the little blue one.
Okie dokie. Baka baka baka.
I'm quite sure you'll be very pleased with that one, sir. He really is in first-class condition. I've worked with him before.
Okay, let's go.
Now, don't you forget this. Why I should stick my neck out for you is quite beyond my capacitance.
Aw, gee. It just isn't fair. Oh, Biggs is right. I'm never gonna get out of here.
Is there anything I might do to help?
Well, not unless you can alter time, speed up the harvest, or teleport me off this rock.
I don't think so, sir. I'm only a droid and not very knowledgeable about such things. Not on this planet, anyway. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure which planet I'm on.
Well, if there's a bright spot to the center of the universe, you're on the planet that it's farthest from.
I see, sir.
You can call me Luke.
I see, sir, Luke.
Just Luke.
Well, I am C-3PO, human-cyborg relations, and this is my counterpart, R2-D2.
Well, hello. Got a lot of carbon scoring here. Looks like you boys have seen a lot of action.
With all we've been through, sometimes I'm amazed that we're in as good a condition as we are. What with the rebellion and all.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
Well, that's how we came to be in your service, if you take my meaning, sir.
Gosh, have you been in many battles?
Several, I think. Actually, there's not much to tell. I'm not much more than an interpreter and not very good at telling stories. Well, at least not at making them interesting, anyway.
Well, my little friend, you've got something jammed in here real good. Were you on a cruiser, or
one of R2's latches breaks loose with a snap. A three-dimensional hologram of Princess Leia Organa is projected from his face. The image is a rainbow of colors as it flickers and jiggles in the dimly lit garage. Luke's mouth hangs open in awe.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
What's this?
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Me.
What is what? He
help
asked
me,
you
Obi-Wan
a question.
Kenobi,
what is
hope.
That? He says it's nothing, sir. Merely a malfunction. Old data. Pay it no mind.
Who is she? Gosh, she's beautiful.
I'm afraid I'm not quite sure, sir. I think she was a passenger on our last voyage. A person of some importance, sir, I believe.
Well, is there more to this recording?
He says he's the property of Obi-Wan Kenobi, a resident of these parts. It's a private message for him. Quite frankly, sir, I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, I don't know anyone named Obi-Wan, but old Ben Kenobi lives out beyond the Dune Sea. Oh, he's kind of a strange old hermit. I wonder who she is. Gosh, it sounds like she's in trouble. I better play back the whole thing.
He says the restraining bolt has short-circuited his recording system. He suggests that if you remove the bolt, you might be able to play back the entire recording.
Well, I guess you're too small to run away on me, and if I take this off... Okay, there you go.
Help me, Obi-Wan.
Wait a minute! Where'd she go? Bring her back! Play back the entire message!
Meep, meep, meep.
What message? The one you're carrying in your rusty innards.
Luke! Luke! Come to dinner!
Well, all right, I'll be right there, Umbaru.
I'm sorry, sir, but he seems to have picked up a slight flutter.
Well, you see what you can do with him. I'll be right back.
You just reconsider playing that message for him.
Me, 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 me?
No, I don't think he likes you.
Me, me?
No, I don't like you either.
Luke's Aunt Beru, a warm, motherly woman, puts a pitcher on the tray with some bowls of food, and starts for the dining area. Luke sits with his Uncle Owen at the table.
You know, I think that R2 unit we bought may have been stolen.
Well, what makes you think that?
Well, I stumbled across a recording when I was cleaning it. Oh, he says he belongs to someone named Obi-Wan Kenobi. I thought he might have meant Old Ben. Say, do you know what he's talking about?
That wizard's just a crazy old man. Tomorrow I want you to take that R2 unit into Anchorhead and have its memory flushed. That'll be the end of it. He belongs to us now. We paid money for him.
But what if this Obi-Wan comes looking for him?
He won't. I don't think he exists anymore. He died about the same time as your father.
He knew my father?
Now cut that out. Your only concern is to prepare the new droids for tomorrow. In the morning, I want them on the South Ridge working on those condensers.
Yes, sir. Say, I was also thinking about our agreement about staying on another season. And if these new droids do work out, why, I want to transmit my application to the Academy this year.
You mean next semester, before harvest?
Well, sure, there are plenty enough droids.
Harvest is when I need you the most, Luke. This year we'll make enough so I'll be able to hire some more hands, and then you can go to the Academy next year. You must understand I need you here, Dennis, Luke.
But it's a whole nother year.
Look, it's only one more season.
Yeah, that's what you said when Biggs and Tank left.
Where are you going?
Looks like I'm going nowhere. I have to go finish cleaning those droids.
Owen, he can't stay here forever. Most of his friends have gone. It means so much to him.
Well, I'll make it up to him next year, I promise.
Luke's just not a farmer, Owen. He has too much of his father in him.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of.
What are you doing hiding back there?
It wasn't my fault, sir. Please don't deactivate me. I told him not to go. He's faulty, babbling about his mission.
No!
Luke and 3PO rush out of the small domed entry to the homestead and scan the darkening horizons with his binoculars for the small astro robot.
That R2 unit has always been a problem. These astro droids are getting quite out of hand. Even I can't understand their logic at times.
How could I have been so stupid? Why, he's nowhere in sight. Blast!
Pardon me, sir, but couldn't we go after him?
No, it's too dangerous with all the sand people around. Why, we'll have to wait until morning.
Luke, I'm shutting down power for the night. These lights are costing me a fortune.
All right, I'll be there in a few minutes. Boy, howdy, am I gonna get it. You know, that little droid is gonna cause me a lot of trouble.
No, he excels at that, sir.
The next morning, Luke and 3PO pilot their land speeder across the vast wasteland. They stop on the floor of a massive canyon.
Hey, whoa, just where do you think you're going?
Master Luke is your rightful owner. We'll have no more of this Obi-Wan Kenobi gibberish. And don't talk to me about your mission either. You're fortunate he doesn't blast you into a million pieces right here.
Well, come on. It's getting late. I only hope we can get back before Uncle Owen really blows up. What's wrong with him now?
Oh, my. Sir, he says several creatures are approaching from the southeast.
Sand. Or worse. Come on, let's have a look. There are two panthers down there, but I don't really... Oh, wait a minute. They're sand people, all right. Why, I can see one of them now.
Luke watches the distant Tusken Raider through his electro binoculars. Suddenly, something huge moves in front of his field of view. Before Luke or 3PO can react, a large, gruesome Tusken Raider looms over them. The towering creature brings down his curved, double-pointed weapon. Luke manages to block the blow with his laser rifle, which is smashed to pieces. The terrified farm boy scrambles backwards until he is forced to the edge of a deep crevice. The sinister raider stands over him with his weapon raised. R2 hides in a small alcove in the rocks as the vicious sand people walk past carrying the inert Luke Skywalker. Suddenly, they stop. The frightened sand people flee in terror at the sound. A shabby desert rat of a man appears and leans over Luke. His ancient leathery face, cracked and weathered by exotic climates, is set off by dark, penetrating eyes and a scraggly white beard.
What happened?
Well, rest easy, son. You've had a busy day. You're fortunate you're still in one piece.
Ben Kenobi. Boy, am I glad to see you.
Oh, the jungle and wastes are not to be traveled lightly.
Tell me, young Luke, what brings you out this far?
Oh, this little droid. I think he's searching for his former master. Well, I've never seen such devotion in a droid before. There seems to be no stopping him. Well, he claims to be the property of an Obi-Wan Kenobi. Is he a relative of yours? Well, do you know what he's talking about?
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi-Wan. That's a name I've not heard in a long time.
I think my uncle knew him. Well, he said he was dead.
Oh, he's not dead. Not yet.
You know him?
Of course I know him. He's me. I haven't gone by the name of Obi-Wan since before you were born.
Oh, gee, then the droid does belong to you.
I don't seem to ever remember owning a droid. Oh, that's very interesting. I think we'd better get indoors. The Sand people are easily startled, but they'll soon be back, and in greater numbers.
Ben Kenobi's Spartan hovel is cluttered with junk, but still manages to radiate an air of time-worn comfort and security. Luke is in one corner repairing 3PO's damaged arm as old Ben sits thinking.
No, my father didn't fight in the wars. He was a navigator on a spice freighter.
That's what your uncle told you. He didn't hold with your father's ideals. He thought you should have stayed here and not got involved.
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes, I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
Gosh, I wish I'd known him.
He was the best star pilot in the galaxy, a cunning warrior. I understand you become quite a good pilot yourself. And he was a good friend, which reminds me, I have something here for you. Your father wanted you to have this when you were old enough, but your uncle wouldn't allow it. He feared you might follow old Obi-Wan on some damn fool idealistic crusade like your father did.
Wow. Well, what is it?
It's your father's lightsaber. This is the weapon of a Jedi Knight, not as clumsy or as random as a blaster. It's an elegant weapon for a more civilized age. For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic. Before the Dark Times, before the Empire.
How did my father die?
A young Jedi named Darth Vader, who was a pupil of mine until he turned to evil, helped the Empire hunt down and destroy the Jedi Knights. He betrayed and murdered your father. Now the Jedi are all but extinct. Vader was seduced by the dark side of the Force.
The Force?
Well, the Force is what gives a Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us and it penetrates us and it binds the galaxy together.
Me, me, me!
Now, let's see if we can't figure out what you are, my little friend, and where you came from.
Well, I saw part of the message.
General Kenobi, years ago you served my father in the Clone Wars.
I seem to have found it.
Now he begs you to help him in his struggle against the Empire. I regret that I am unable to present my father's request to you in person, but my ship has fallen under attack, and I'm afraid my mission to bring you to Alderaan has failed. I have placed information vital to the survival of the rebellion into the memory systems of this R2 unit. My father will know how to retrieve it. You must see this droid safely delivered to him on Alderaan. This is our most desperate hour. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
You must learn the ways of the Force if you're to come with me to Alderaan.
Alderaan? Well, I'm not going to Alderaan. I've got to go home. Oh, it's late, and I'm in for it as it is.
I need your help, Luke. She needs your help. I'm getting too old for this sort of thing.
I can't get involved. Oh, I've got work to do. It's not like I like the Empire. Why, I hate it. There's nothing I can do about it right now. Oh, it's such a long way from here.
Well, that's your uncle talking.
Oh, geez, my uncle. How am I ever going to explain this?
Learn about the Force, Luke.
Look, I can take you as far as Anchorhead. You can get a transport there to Mos Eisley or wherever you're going.
Well, you must do what you feel is right, of course.
We'll be back to the Lux Radio Theater after this break for station identification. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, aren't you?
You're listening to Sound Effects, a radio playground on KFAI Fresh Air Radio.
Hello again, I'm Jerry Stearns, and tonight on Sound Effects, we're listening to the Lux Radio Theater production from the 1940s of The Adventures of Luke Skywalker from the film of the same title, featuring Mickey Rooney, Humphrey Bogart, and Katharine Hepburn. Let's go back to Luke Skywalker, Act 2.
An Imperial Star Destroyer heads towards the evil planet-like battle station, the Death Star. 8 Imperial senators and generals sit around a black conference table. Imperial stormtroopers stand guard around the room.
Until this battle station is fully operational, we are vulnerable, Admiral Mati. The Rebel Alliance is too well-equipped. They're more dangerous than you realize.
Dangerous to your Starfleet, Commander Taggy, not this battle station.
The Rebellion will continue to gain a support in the Imperial Senate, so long as...
Suddenly, all heads turn as General Grand Moff Tarkin enters. He is followed by his powerful ally, the Sith Lord Darth Vader. All of the generals stand and bow before the thin, evil-looking governor as he takes his place at the head of the table. The Dark Lord stands behind him.
The Imperial Senate will no longer be of any concern to us. I have just received word that the Emperor has dissolved the Council permanently. The last remnants of the Old Republic have been swept away.
It's impossible. How will the Emperor maintain control without the bureaucracy?
The regional governors have direct control over territories. Fear will keep the local systems in line. Fear of this battle station.
And what of the Rebellion? Tarkin, if the Rebels have obtained a complete technical readout of this station, it is possible, however unlikely, that they may find a weakness and exploit it.
The plans you refer to will soon be back in our hands.
Any attack made by the Rebels against this station would be a useless gesture, Lord Vader, no matter what technical data they've obtained. This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed, Admiral Mati. The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant next to the power of the Force.
Don't try to frighten us with your sorcerer's ways, Lord Vader. Your sad devotion to that ancient religion has not helped you conjure up the stolen data tapes or given you clairvoyance enough to find the Rebels' hidden fork.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Enough of this! Vader, release him!
As you wish.
This bickering is pointless. Lord Vader will provide us with the location of the Rebel fortress by the time this station is operational. We will then crush the Rebellion with one swift stroke!
Luke and Ben stop before what remains of a huge Jawa sandcrawler. They walk among the smoldering rubble and scattered bodies.
Well, it looks like sand people did this all right. Well, look, here are gaffy sticks and bantha tracks. It's just... Oh, gee, I've never heard of them hitting anything this big before.
Well, they didn't, but we're meant to think they did. These tracks are side by side, and sand people always ride single file to hide their numbers.
These are the same Jawas that sold us R2 and 3PO.
And these flash points, they're too accurate for sand people. Only Imperial stormtroopers are so precise.
Well, why would Imperial troops want to slaughter Jawas? Well, if they trace the robots here, they may have learned who they sold them to. And that would lead them... home!
Oh, wait, Luke. It's too dangerous.
Luke races across the wasteland in his battered land speeder and roars up to the burning homestead. He jumps out and runs to the smoking holes that were once his home. Debris is scattered everywhere, and it looks as if a great battle has taken place.
Uncle Owen! Aunt Beru! Uncle Owen!
Luke stumbles around in a daze looking for his aunt and uncle. Suddenly, he comes upon them. Smoldering remains. He is stunned. He cannot speak. Hate replaces fear, and a new resolve comes over him. He soon returns to the wreckage of the sandcrawler.
Well, there's nothing you could have done, Luke, had you been there. You'd have been killed, too, and the droids would be in the hands of the Empire.
I want to come with you to Alderaan. Why, there's nothing for me here now. I want to learn the ways of the Force. And become a Jedi like my father.
Our hero's landspeeder zooms across the desert and stops on a bluff overlooking the spaceport at Mos Eisley. It is a haphazard array of low, gray concrete structures and semi-dome. Luke walks to the edge of a craggy bluff where Ben is standing.
Mos Eisley Spaceport. You'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. Well, we must be cautious.
As the speeder makes its way into town, it is stopped on a crowded street by several combat-hardened stormtroopers who examine the two robots.
How long have you had these droids?
Well, about 3 or 4 seasons.
Oh, they're for sale if you want them.
Let me see your identification.
You don't need to see his identification.
We don't need to see his identification?
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for?
You can go on about his business.
You can go about your business?
Well, move along.
Move along. Move along.
I can't understand how we got by those troopers. Gosh, I thought we were dead.
The Force can have a strong influence on the weak-minded. You'll find it a powerful ally.
Do you really think we're going to find a pilot here that'll take us to Alderaan?
Well, most of the best freighter pilots can be found here, only watch your step. This place can be a little rough.
Oh, I'm ready for anything.
Well, come along, R2.
The young adventurer and his two mechanical servants follow Ben Kenobi into a smoke-filled cantina. The murky, moldy den is filled with a startling array of weird and exotic alien creatures and monsters. Ben moves into an empty spot along the long metallic bar. A huge, rough-looking bartender stops Luke and the robots.
Hey, we don't serve that kind here.
What?
Out your two robots go through the door out the window. We don't want them here.
Say, listen, why don't you wait out by the speeder? Well, we don't want any trouble.
Though I heartily agree with you, sir.
Oh, bo wana baba kendo, eh, Jimbo?
He doesn't like you.
I'm sorry.
I don't like you either.
Nozo konjin yatoraimashita.
You better watch yourself. We're wanted men. I have the death sentence in 12 systems.
Well, I'll be careful then.
You'll be dead.
This little one isn't worth the effort. Come on, let me buy you something.
A powerful blow from the unpleasant creature sends Luke sailing across the room, crashing through several tables.
No blasters! No blasters!
With astounding agility, old Ben's laser sword sparks to life, and in a flash, an arm lies on the floor. The man is cut in two, and his alien companion lies doubled, cut from stem to stern. Ben turns off his laser sword and replaces it on his utility belt. Luke, shaking and totally amazed at the old man's abilities, regains his feet. The cantina returns to normal, although Ben is given a respectable amount of room at the bar.
Well, this is Chewbacca. He's first mate on a ship that might meet our needs.
Chewbacca is an 8-foot-tall, savage-looking half-man, half-ape. Wearing 2 chrome bandoliers, he leads our heroes across the cantina, where sits a tough, roguish star pilot.
Han Solo, I'm captain of the Millennium Falcon. Chewie here tells me you're looking for passage to the Alderaan system.
Well, yes, indeed, if it's a fast ship.
Fast ship? You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Should I have?
It's a ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. I've outrun Imperial starships, not the local bulk cruisers, mind you. I'm talking about the big Carillion ships now. Ah, she's fast enough for you, old man. What's the cargo?
Well, only passengers, and myself, and the boy, 2 droids, and no questions asked.
What is it? Some kind of local trouble?
Well, that's a question. Well, let's just say we'd like to avoid any Imperial entanglements.
Well, that's a real trick, isn't it? It's going to cost you something extra. $10,000 in advance.
$10,000? Why, we could almost buy our own ship for that.
Yeah, but who's going to fly it, kid? You?
You bet I could. Well, I am not such a bad pilot myself. We don't have to sit here and listen to this.
We don't have that much with us, but we could pay you $2,000 now and $15,000 when we reach Alderaan.
$17,000, huh? Well, you guys got yourselves a ship. We'll leave as soon as you're ready. Docking Bay 94. Looks like somebody's beginning to take an interest in your handiwork, old man.
Ben and Luke turn around to see 4 Imperial stormtroopers looking at the dead bodies and asking the bartender some questions. The bartender points to the booth.
All right, we'll check it out.
The stormtroopers look over at the booth, but Luke and Ben have disappeared. The bartender shrugs his shoulders in puzzlement.
$17,000. Those guys must really be desperate. This could really save my neck. Get back to the ship and get her ready.
As Han is about to leave, Greedo, a slimy, green-faced alien with a short trunk nose, pushes him back into the booth and levels a blaster at him.
Going somewhere, Soro?
Yes, Greedo. As a matter of fact, I was just gonna go see your boss. Tell Jabba I've got his money.
It's too late. You should have paid him when you had the chance. Jabba's put the price on your head so large, every bounty hunter in the galaxy will be looking for you. I'm Rocky, I find you first.
Yeah, but this time, I've got the money.
If you give it to me, I might forget I find you.
I don't have it with me. Tell Jabba.
Jabba's through with you. There's no time for smugglers who drop shipments at first sign of Imperial Cruiser.
Even I get boarded sometimes. You think I had a choice?
You can tell that to Jabba. He may only take your ship.
Over my dead body.
That's the idea. I've been looking forward to killing you for a long time.
Yes, I'll bet you have.
There's a blinding flash of light, and the alien creature collapses onto the table. Han pulls his smoking gun from beneath the table as the other patrons look on in bemused amazement. Han gets up and starts out the cantina, flipping the bartender some coins as he leaves.
Sorry about the mess.
The resistance to the mind probe is considerable. It will be some time before we can extract any information from her.
The final checkout is complete. All systems are operational. What course shall we set?
Perhaps she would respond to an alternative form of persuasion.
What do you mean?
I think it is time we demonstrate the full power of this station. Set your course for Princess Leia's home planet of Alderaan.
With pleasure. Yeah.
Chewbacca leads the group into docking bay 94. Resting in the middle of the huge hole is a large, weathered starship.
What a piece of junk.
Well, she'll make 0.5 past light speed. She may not look like much, but she's got it where it counts, kid. I've added some special modifications myself. We're a little rushed, so if you'll hurry aboard, we'll get out of here.
Stop that ship!
Several Imperial stormtroopers rush to the docking bay and fire at Han as he ducks into the starship.
Blast them.
Han draws his laser pistol and fires several shots. With force, the stormtroopers dive for safety. The pirate ship engines whine as Han hits the release button that slams the gangplank shut.
Chewie, get us out of here.
Han climbs into the pilot chair next to Chewbacca, who points at something on the radar scope.
It looks like an Imperial cruiser. Our passengers must be hotter than I thought. Try and hold them off. Angle the deflector shield while I make the calculations for the jump to light speed. Stay sharp. There are two more coming in. They're going to try and cut us off.
Oh, my. I've forgotten how much I hate space travel.
Why don't you outrun them? I thought you said this thing was fast.
Watch your mouth, kid, or you're going to find yourself floating home. We'll be safe enough once we make the jump to hyperspace. Besides, I know a few maneuvers. We'll lose them.
How long before you can make the jump to light speed?
It'll take a few minutes to get the coordinates for the navi computer.
Are you kidding? Why, at the rate they're gaining?
Traveling through hyperspace ain't like dusting crops, boy. Without the precise calculations, we could fly right through a star, bounce too close to a supernova, and that'd end your trip real quick, wouldn't it?
What's that flashing?
We're losing a deflector shield. Go strap yourselves in. I'm gonna make the jump to light speed.
The galaxy brightens and stars become streaks as the pirate ship makes the jump to hyperspace. The Millennium Falcon zooms into infinity in less than a second.
We've entered the Alderaan system.
Governor Tarkin, I should have expected to find you holding Vader's leash. I recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board.
Charming to the last. You don't know how hard I found it signing the order to terminate your life.
I'm surprised you had the courage to take the responsibility yourself.
Princess Leia, before your execution, I would like you to be a guest at a ceremony that will make this battle station operational. No star systems will dare oppose the Emperor now.
The more you tighten your grip, Tarkin, the more star systems will slip through your fingers.
Not after we demonstrate the power of this station. In a way, you have determined the choice of the planet that will be destroyed first. Since you are reluctant to provide us with the location of the rebel base, I have chosen to test this station's destructive power on your home planet of Alderaan.
No, Alderaan is peaceful. We have no weapons. You can't possibly.
You would prefer another target, a military target? Then name's the system. I grow tired of asking this, so it will be the last time. Where is the rebel base?
Dantooine. They're on Dantooine.
There, you see, Lord Vader, she can be reasonable. Continue with the operation. You may fire when ready.
What?
You're far too trusting. Dantooine is too remote to make an effective demonstration. But don't worry. We will deal with your rebel friends soon enough.
No!
A huge beam of light emanates from within the cone-shaped area of the Death Star and converges into a single laser beam towards a small green planet. Alderaan is blown into space dust. Meanwhile, on the Millennium Falcon, Luke is practicing with his lightsaber against a small floating robot. Ben suddenly turns away and sits down, seeming almost faint.
Are you all right? What's wrong?
I felt a great disturbance in the Force, as if millions of voices suddenly cried out in terror and were suddenly silenced. I fear something terrible has happened. You better get on with your exercises.
Well, you can forget your troubles with those Imperial slugs. I told you I'd outrun them. Don't everybody thank me at once.
Luke stands in the middle of a small hold area, frozen in place. A humming lightsaber is held high over his head. Ben watches him from the corner, studying his movements. Han watches with a bit of smugness.
Remember, a Jedi can feel the Force flowing through him.
You mean it controls your actions?
Oh, partially, but it also obeys your commands.
Suddenly, the flying robot makes a lightning-swift lunge at Luke. It emits a small laser beam as it attacks, hitting Luke in the leg and causing him to tumble over.
Ow!
Okey religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster at your side, kid.
You don't believe in the Force, do you?
Kid, I've flown from one side of this galaxy to the other. I've seen a lot of strange stuff, but I've never seen anything to make me believe there's one all-powerful Force controlling everything. There's no mystical energy field that controls my destiny. It's all a lot of simple tricks and nonsense.
What? I suggest you try it again, Luke. Put this helmet on. Now, this time, let go of your conscious self and act on instinct.
Oh, gee, with the blast shield down, I can't even see. Well, how am I supposed to fight?
Well, your eyes can deceive you. Don't trust them. Stretch out with your feelings.
Luke stand in place, seemingly frozen. The Seeker robot makes a dive at Luke, and incredibly, he manages to deflect the bolt.
You see? You can do it.
I call it luck.
In my experience, there's no such thing as luck.
Look, going against remotes is one thing. Going against the living, that's something else. Yeah, looks like we're coming up on Alderaan.
Well, I'll be. You know, I did feel something. Oh, I could almost see the remote.
Well, that's good. You took your first step into a larger world.
Jawohl.
Our scout ships have reached Dantooine. They found the remains of a rebel base, but they estimate that it has been deserted for some time. They are now conducting an extensive search of the surrounding systems.
She lied. She lied to us.
I told you she would never consciously betray the rebellion.
Terminate her. Immediately.
The Millennium Falcon drops out of hyperspace and immediately begins to shudder and violently shake about. Asteroids begin to race towards them, battering the sides of the ship.
What the? We've come out of hyperspace into a meteor swarm. It's not on any of the charts.
What's going on?
Our position's correct, except no Alderaan.
What do you mean? Where is it?
That's what I'm trying to tell you, kid. It ain't there. It's been totally blown away.
What? How?
Destroyed, but by the Empire. The entire Starfleet couldn't destroy the whole planet. It'd take 1,000 ships with more firepower than I've ever...
There's another ship coming in.
Maybe they know what happened.
It's an Imperial fighter.
It followed us.
No, it's a short-range fighter. There aren't any bases around here. Where did it come from?
Oh, gosh. If they identify us, we're in a whole lot of trouble.
And not if I can help it. Chewie, jam its transmissions.
It'd be just as well to let it go. It's too far out of range.
Not for long.
A fighter that size couldn't get this deep into space on its own.
It must have gotten lost, been part of a convoy or something.
Well, he ain't gonna be around long enough to tell anyone about us.
Look at him. Oh, he's headed for that small moon.
I think I can get him before he gets there. He's almost in range.
That's no moon. By golly, that's a space station.
It's too big to be a space station.
I got a very bad feeling about this.
Yeah? Yeah, I think you're right. Full reverse. Chewie, lock in the auxiliary power.
Why are we still moving toward it?
We're caught in the tractor beam. It's pulling us in.
But there's gotta be something you can do.
There's nothing I can do about it, kid. I'm in full power. I'm gonna have to shut down. Well, they're not gonna get me without a fight.
Well, you can't win, but there are alternatives to fighting.
As the battered pirate starship is towed closer, the immense size of the massive battle station becomes staggering. Running along the equator of the giant sphere is a mile-high band of huge docking ports. The helpless Millennium Falcon is pulled through the port doors of the Death Star, coming to rest in a huge hangar. A line of stormtroopers march towards the pirate ship in readiness to board it, while other troopers stand with weapons ready to fire.
We've captured a freighter entering the remains of the Alderaan system. Its markings match those of a ship that blasted its way to Mos Eisley.
She must be trying to return the stolen plans to the princess. She may yet be of some use to us.
There's no one on board, sir. According to the log, the crew abandoned ship right after takeoff. It must be a decoy, sir. Several of the escape pods have been jettisoned.
Did you find any droids?
No, sir. If there were any on board, they must also have jettisoned.
Send a scanning crew on board. I want every part of the ship checked.
Yes, sir.
I sense something. A presence I haven't felt since...
Inside the Millennium Falcon, several secret floor panels pop up to reveal our heroes hiding beneath them.
Boy, howdy. It sure is lucky you had these swell compartments.
I use them for smuggling. I never thought I'd be smuggling myself in them.
Oh, this is ridiculous. Even if I could take off, I'd never get past that tractor beam.
Well, leave that to me.
Damn fool. I knew you were gonna say that.
Who's the more foolish? The fool or the fool who follows him?
Our heroes sneak out of the Falcon and make their way towards the hangar control room. The doors to the security center slide open, revealing the towering Chewbacca, apparently held captive by two stormtroopers. The gantry officer, in a momentary state of shock, stumbles backwards. The giant Wookiee flattens the officer with one blow. The aide immediately reaches for his pistol, but is blasted by Han, who is disguised as an Imperial stormtrooper. Ben and the robots enter the room quickly, followed by Luke, also disguised as a stormtrooper. Luke quickly removes his helmet.
You know, between his howling and your blast and everything in sight, boy, it's a wonder the whole station doesn't know we're here.
Bring him on. I prefer a straight fight to all this sneaking around.
We found the computer outlet, sir.
Plug in. He should be able to interpret the entire Imperial computer network.
R2 says he's found the main computer to power the tractor beam that's holding our ship here.
I don't think you boys can help. I must go alone.
Whatever you say, I've done more than I bargained for on this trip already.
I want to go with you.
Be patient, Luke. Stay and watch over the droids.
But he can...
They must be delivered safely, or other star systems will suffer the same fate as Alderaan. Your destiny lies along a different path than mine. The Force will be with you. Always.
You said it, Chewie. Where did you dig up that old fossil?
Ben is a great man.
Yeah, great at getting us into trouble.
I didn't hear you give it any ideas.
Well, anything would be better than just hanging around waiting for him to pick us up.
Well, who do you think? What is it? What is it?
I'm afraid I'm not quite sure, sir. He says I found her and keeps repeating she's here.
Well, who is he found?
Princess Leia.
The princess? She's here?
Princess? What's going on?
Level 5, detention block AA-23. I'm afraid she's scheduled to be terminated.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. We gotta do something.
What are you talking about?
The droid belongs to her. She's the one in the message. Well, we gotta go help her.
Now, look, don't get any funny ideas. The old man wants us to wait right here.
But he didn't know she was here. Look, you just find us a way into the detention block.
I'm not going anywhere.
They're gonna execute her. Look, a few minutes ago, you said all you wanted to didn't want to stay here to be captured. Now all you want to do is stay.
Marching into the detention area is not what I had in mind.
But they're going to kill
her. Better her than me.
She's rich.
Rich?
And how? Rich, powerful? Say, listen, if you were to rescue her,
Why, the reward would be...
What?
Well, more dough than you can imagine.
I don't know. I can imagine quite a bit.
Well, you'll get it.
I better.
You will.
All right, kid. But you better be right about this.
All right.
What's your plan?
3PO, hand me that leash there, will you? Okay, Chewbacca, now I'm gonna put this on you. Okay, Han, maybe you put this on.
Don't worry, Chewie. I think I know what he has in mind.
Master Lucha, what should Artu and I do if we're discovered here?
Lock the door.
And hope they don't have blasters.
Oh, that's very reassuring. Lock the door and hope they don't have blasters.
Han and Luke try to look inconspicuous in their borrowed stormtrooper suits as they guard the now leashed Chewbacca. Troops, bureaucrats, and robots bustle about in the station corridors. Only a few give the giant Wookiee a curious glance.
I can't see a thing in this helmet.
This is not gonna work.
Why did you say so before?
I did say so before.
Where are you taking this thing?
Prisoner transfer from block 1138.
I wasn't notified. I'll have to clear it.
Look out! He's loose!
The startled guards are momentarily dumbfounded. Luke and Han already have pulled out their blazer pistols and are blasting away at the camera's controls and the Imperial guards. Han rushes to the comlink system, which is screeching questions about what is going on.
We gotta find out which cell this princess of yours is in. Here it is, cell 2187. You go get her. I'll hold him here.
In case you didn't catch it, that's Rin Tin Tin playing Chewbacca. And you also hear Laurel and Hardy as the droids, and all three Marx Brothers and all three Stooges are in there. Remarksable. Well, we'll have the conclusion of The Adventures of Luke Skywalker next week here on Sound Effects, a Radio Playground. I'm Jerry Stearns, and I hope to see you then. Stick around now. Abby's Room for One has something completely different. Punk, grunge, and new wave music right up until tomorrow. That's next here on Fresh Air Community Radio. Sound Effects, a Radio Playground. The best in audio theater, comedy, and the audio arts. A medium where almost everything is left to your imagination.
In recognition of the freedom of speech protections on the First Amendment and the FCC's relaxed policy on late night and overnight language, this KFIA program may include song lyrics that some listeners might find objectionable. Listener discretion is advised.
Sometimes you get what you need.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, 90.3 FM Minneapolis, going out to the stratosphere, or on the web at www.kfai.org, where you can catch this train wreck for the next 2 weeks. It's archived. This is Abby's Room for One Radio. You're at the end of your week, or the beginning of the next one, or somewhere in the middle, because our work weeks never end. But rock, well, that never dies. Here's some stuff.
She hasn't got a heart and she hasn't got a soul. Say that she is not out of one.
Thank you to everyone who supported us during our spring pledge drive here at KFAI, and especially if you gave a little love to Abby's Room for One Radio, that'd be even more delightful. But regardless, this is